Virginia establishes its own Seaplane Pilots Association, keeping the towers open and saving the Lakota helicopter. This is Aero News for Monday, June 3rd, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. The state of Virginia now has its very own Seaplane Pilots Association. The Virginia Seaplane Pilots Association, VSPA, was created during the Lake Anna splash-in held May 23rd and 24th north of Richmond, Virginia. That, according to information from the Seaplane Pilots Association. Bill Fosdick, the president of the newly formed organization, said Virginia is already considered a seaplane-friendly state with 209 active seaplane pilots. Those attending the splash-in voted unanimously for the association's formation, and Bill Fosdick was elected as its first president. Creation of the association was supported by the Virginia Department of Aviation. They hope to educate, promote, and preserve seaplane operations throughout the Commonwealth. Education of public officials, decision-makers, other waterway users, and the general public about seaplanes and their operations is key to continued acceptance on the state's waterways. One objective of the VSPA is to document in the Virginia Airport Directory and the SPA Directory information on landing waterways in the Commonwealth and contact information for those who have oversight responsibilities for those waterways. Gee, I wonder how the folks in Oregon feel about that. With an eye toward the conclusion of the federal government's 2013 fiscal year on September 30th, 11 aviation organizations recently signed a joint letter to leaders of the U.S. House and Senate Appropriations Committees, not only thanking them for legislation passed earlier this year to preserve contract air traffic control towers dated for closure, but also to reaffirm the need for continued funding for those facilities in the future. In their May 29th letter, aviation organization leaders urged lawmakers to provide $150 million in dedicated funding in the fiscal year 2014 budget to preserve the contract tower program should sequestration continue to be enforced. The letter reads in part, quote, "Events of recent months have made it abundantly clear that the FAA control tower program enjoys strong bipartisan support in both chambers, and we urge Congress to dedicate funding to the program for fiscal year 2014. End quote. Earlier this year, the FAA announced its intent to close 149 federal contract control towers, but that decision drew significant concerns from airport leaders, aviation groups, and elected officials at all levels of government. Special congressional legislation allowed the FAA to reallocate some $253 million to keep the facilities open through September 30th, the end of the current fiscal year. Transportation leaders have not yet said whether the towers will remain open past the end of September. Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant, U.S. Senator Roger Wicker, U.S. Representative Greg Harper, and U.S. Representative Alan Nunnally joined others of EADS North America and American Eurocopter at a rally on Thursday to call on Congress to restore funding for the Army's UH-72A Lakota helicopter in the fiscal year 2014 budget. The rally took place at EADS North America's American Eurocopter facility in Columbus, Mississippi, where the Lakota is produced for use in a wide range of roles by the Army, Army National Guard, and Navy. Proposed cuts in the 2014 budget submitted to Congress in April would reduce production of the Lakota in 2014 and 15 by 31 fewer aircraft than the Army planned to buy. Those cuts, which would result in negligible savings, would effectively end Lakota production by the end of 2014 and endanger the jobs of many of the more than 300 Columbus employees, more than half of whom are U.S. military veterans. Eclipse Aerospace has received a type certificate validation from the South African Civil Aviation Authority for the Eclipse twin-engine jet, and the first Eclipse jet has been exported to South Africa. J.P. Fury, the National Airways Coordination's Director of Fixed Wing Sales, states, quote, "It has been an absolute delight to work with the Eclipse team to make this a reality. We are now perfectly positioned to service our customers in Africa and South Africa with a product that is top of its class and fully supported by Eclipse Aerospace, who excel in meeting and exceeding customer expectations," end quote. The Eclipse jet made its first appearance in Africa at the AAD in Waterkloof in September of 2012. This marks the 46th country in which the Eclipse jet is now certified for use. Early this month, the FAA will be issuing invitations for participation in its 35th annual General Aviation and Part 135 Activity Survey. Accurate survey data is critical in developing the FAA's accident statistics for general aviation and on-demand charter operations. This data also is used for FAA planning and forecasting purposes according to the NBAA. On its website, the organization says it strongly encourages all operators who receive a survey invitation from the FAA to complete the survey. Accurate representation and full participation benefits the entire industry. The FAA's annual GA survey is the only source of information on the general aviation fleet, the number of hours flown, and the ways people use general aviation aircraft. The data helps determine funding for infrastructure and service needs, assesses the impact of regulatory changes, and measures aviation safety. When Aero News continues, look up in the sky, it's Cyber Rocket. Got paint? Go to jail. And new history on display in the Pacific.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Monday, June 3rd. I'm Glenn Moyer. A Black Brant 12 suborbital rocket carrying the Cosmic Infrared Background Experiment, or CYBER, is scheduled for launch between 11 and 11:59 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time tomorrow from NASA's launch range at the Wallops Flight Facility in Virginia. The backup launch days are June 5th through the 10th. The rocket, in fact, may be visible to residents in the Mid-Atlantic region. With CYBER, scientists will study when the first stars and galaxies formed in the universe and how brightly they burned their nuclear fuel. This will be the fourth flight for CYBER on a NASA sounding rocket. For this flight, CYBER will fly on a larger and more powerful rocket than before. This will loft CYBER to a higher altitude than those previously obtained, thus providing longer observation time for the instruments. The experiment, which will splash safely down in the Atlantic Ocean, more than 400 miles off the Virginia coast, will not be recovered. Authorities for Germany's Deutsche Bahn, an intermodal transportation company, have developed a fleet of helicopter UAVs equipped with infrared cameras that will be used near rail yards to catch vandals spray-painting cars with graffiti. The UAVs will be used in Berlin, Leipzig, Cologne, and Hamburg, according to a spokesman for the company. Those cities are considered hotspots for such vandals. The aircraft can fly at an altitude of up to 400 feet and will be painted in the red livery of the company, according to a report in the UK newspaper The Daily Telegraph. Deutsche Bahn spokesman Jens Oliver Voss said that the company will be very careful not to fly the UAVs near stations where members of the public could be filmed in violation of Germany's privacy laws. The aircraft will be one of several tools at the disposal of the company's security team, charged with identifying graffiti sprayers so that they can be apprehended by security forces who can then hand them over to the police. Deutsche Bahn did not say how many of the aircraft it has acquired, but the company spends about $10 million to remove graffiti from rail cars each year. The aircraft cost about $77,000 each. The iconic Lockheed F-104A Starfighter, serial number 56-817, made its final landing at Pacific Aviation Museum Pearl Harbor on May 9, 2013, bringing the museum's ever-expanding iconic aircraft collection to 43 warbirds, helicopters, and jets. The Starfighter is on long-term loan from Museum of Aviation Robins Air Force Base, Warner Robins, Georgia. It will be on display for visitors in the museum's 87,000-square-foot battle-scarred Hangar 79. The museum's executive director, Kenneth DeHoff, says of the aircraft, quote, "This record-breaking aircraft has quite the history, and we're honored to give it a home. It was the first aircraft to do sustained Mach 2 flight, the first to hold speed and altitude records simultaneously, and the first to reach 100,000 feet. Plus, it had some amazing pilots," end quote. Well, one of those pilots was General Chuck Yeager, who famously displayed the right stuff during a high-altitude, record-breaking ascent in a rocket-assisted F-104, climbing to the edge of space at more than 118,000 feet. The Starfighter went into production in 1956 and served in the U.S. Air Force from 1958 through 1975. After its operational years with the Air Force, the F-104 was used extensively by NASA in advanced research projects. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure, but at something less than Mach 2, please.